Begin the current daf Masechet Yesuim and daf Nun Beis. We begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had introduced the Mishnah on the previous daf, which continued the discussion of this entire Masechet, which is the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. That's that day on Yom Kippur. And we're up to the process where he took the shovel full of coals down from the top of the Mizbeach, the outer Mizbeach, and he had in one hand the Keteris, and he's bringing it inside the Kutcher Kutchim by the Aron HaKadosh, where he would then do the Avodah of the Keteris once a year inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we had a Machlekes in the Mishnah, when he's entering through the curtain into the Kutcher Kutchim, how many curtains there were. Chum say there were two, Rabbi says there was one. Rabbi Yisrael brought a good proof. He says that when you see in the Torah, when they talked about by the Mishkan, it says only a singular, that there was one Pareches. So Chum said that's correct. And by the Midbar, there was one curtain. However, in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was replicating the first Beis HaMikdash, had what was called the Amatraxon, which was an Amma wide wall that separated the Heichal from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, which the height was higher, they couldn't go ahead and make an Amma wide wall to support that because it wouldn't be wide enough to support such a height. And they couldn't make it wider because the Torah says specific dimensions that the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be in the length and the width. So therefore, what they did to find some way through that is to create two pareches and two curtains, and with that have an airspace between the two curtains, because it was not clearly defined what was the status of the wall, since we had no wall now. If you had just one curtain, what would you do with the Amma space? Would that be part of the Heichal, or would that be part of the Kutcher Kutchim? Since they didn't know, that's why they made these two pareches, and that was the opinion of the Rabban. Now the Gemara continues on that theme and elaborates on this. I'm Reb Nassim. It says, Amatraxon, this Amma-wide wall that was only in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, but was not in the second Beis HaMikdash, lo hechrir b'chachamim, the Chacham were not able to conclusively define, ikalefnim, ikalechutz, if it had the halachic status as the area within, that is with the kachah kachim, or if it had the status of what was outside. And actually, Rashi says that's what the definition of the word traxon actually means. In the previous stuff, we said an interpretation from Tesis, but especially related to what Reb Nassim is defining it as now, the word trak means inside, as Rashi brings in the Gemara Brachas Lamed Hey, that the earlier generations would bring in their produce derech trak simon. You see that trak is the coming in, and sin is a reference to outside, and that's why they call it trak sin, inside, outside. Wasn't clear the definition of the area of this wall, if it had the status as inside or outside. Such Reb Nassim explains, as we had said in the previous stuff, that's why in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chacham said there were two pareches, again, to then isolate this area, since we didn't know what status it was, so to artificially recreate this area of an Amma, to then not have it part of the Heichal or the Kutcher Kutchim, because we didn't know which part it's from. On that, Maskevler Ravina asks on that. Says, my time, what's the reason why they didn't know where this area of the Amma traction was, if it was related to the inside or the outside? Now, Elaim and Mishum Nichsiv, if you're going to say, because it says the Pasuk Malachim Aleph, says, V'habayis ha-shebona ha-melech Shlema l'Hashem, that the house, the Beis HaMikdash, that Shlema Melech built for Hashem, was Shishim Amma Arkoi, it had a length of 60 Amas, V'esim Rachbay, and a width of 20 Amas, U'shleishim Amma Kemasai, and a height of 30 Amas. So that was the total area. Now, Uchsiv, and it says there also, it says, V'arbom ba'amma hoya ha-bayis, that the length of the house, in other words, reference to the Heichel, was 40 Amos. That's Hu HaHeichel Lefnoi, that's the Heichel that's in front of me. Uchsev, and it says in the Pasuk, Lefnei HaDvir, that means in front of the Dvir, which is generally a reference to the Kutcher Kutchim, but that's in a sense also a reference to the partition that's in front of the Dvir, which is, again, the airspace of the Kutcher Kutchim, which that's in front of this partition. That was Esrim Amo Eirich, that was a length of 20 Amos. V'esem amarechim in the width of 20 amas. V'esem amakaymasa in the height of 20 amas. Now, v'loyadinon amatraxin. Now, therefore, we don't know the ama wall, imehani esem, if it's from that 20 of what's inside, v'imehani arbam, or from the 40 that's outside. In other words, because we said clearly that the length of both of them together are 60. Now, but each one, well, this one's 40, that one's 20. So that takes up all 60. Now, which is the wall part of? It's got to be either from the 40 or from the 20, and we didn't know. That's why we said that the Amatraxon, it was inconclusive, and that's why we called it actually Traxon, and that's why we had to make these two Parechsin, because we don't know which one it was from. But that is the question that Ravina is asking. It says, you're not sure if it was from the 40 or from the 20. Maybe it was from neither one of them. And therefore, what's your question that you don't know which one it was from? And actually, v'chalola kachashiv, because the pasuk there that's defining that it was 60 and there was 40 of this, 20 of this, was only talking in regards to the ear space. But kechalsalim leich kachashiv, actually, the pasuk wasn't talking about the wall. Maybe the wall was a separate amma. There was 61 ammas, let's say. It was just said 60 related to the ear space. But therefore, maybe it was neither one. Why are you saying you're not sure? And therefore, you have to make these two parechas. The wall is the wall. It was the space of the wall. It didn't have the sanctity of the Heichel or of the Kadri Kachin. And he says even more, Teide, you should know that what I'm saying is a good question. The Chol Heichel de Kachashim, because wherever you see that the calculations of the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash are mentioned, Kesalim Chashav Leili Didei, the walls are mentioned in their own measurements. In other words, besides the 60 Amos of the length of the ear space of the Beis HaMikdash, you see that they're considered in their own dimensions, their own measurements. It's not like learn the Mishnah Masechtas Midas, that clearly demonstrates this idea that although we're saying it's 60 Amos long, but that was only the ear space. But actually that the walls were different measurements, not part of either one of the 40 or the 20. As the Mishnah says in Masechtas Midas, HaHeichel, which in this context is a reference to the entire building of the Beis HaMikdash, was Meya al Meya, was 100 Amos squared. Berum Meya by 100 Amos height. Now, the Mishnah goes clearly, going if one's walking in from the east, walking towards the west, how do you calculate it being a length of 100 Amos? So if you start from the east, Kaisel Ulam Chamesh, the first thing you enter in is the antechamber. So the wall of the Ulam itself was 5 Amos. Then V'ulam Achas Asara, then the antechamber itself has an airspace of 11 Amos. Then you keep on going westward, Kaisel HaHeichel Sheish, the wall of the Heichel, of the sanctuary, was 6 Amos. V'arkei Arbam Amos, and then the airspace of the length of the Heichel itself was 40 Amos. The Amatraxin. And so here you see clearly that we're talking about in the measurements of the 100 Amos as considered separately is the Amma wall that separates the Heichel from the Kadri Kachim. Then you have a Chaf Amma based Kadri Kachim. Then you have the 20 Amos of the Holiest of Holy. Then you have Kaisla Heichel Shesh. Then you have the wall behind the Kadri Kachim of the Heichel itself, of the building, which is 6 Amos. Then Vatashesh, then you have these cells that surrounded the entire internal area of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you had behind the Kadri Kachim, also on the western area was also, that cell was 6 Amos. And then V'kaisel HaTochamesh, and then the wall of that cell itself, that cell had to have a wall supporting it, around it, that was 5 Amos. And when one calculates all these measurements, you see that comes to the number 100, that was the length of the Beis HaMikdash. But therefore, what Ravina is asking is, you see clearly from that Mishnah Masechtas Midas that the 60 Amos is not the total including the wall space. That was just the ear space. And therefore, what's the question? What was the doubt that Rav Nosson is defining of this Amatraxon? We don't know which one it was the Heichel or Kadri Kachim. And therefore, you know what? We have to make these two curtains. We don't know what to do with this space. What do you mean? It's wall space. Do whatever you want with it. In other words, in the sense of why are we not sure, and therefore we have to make two parechas, it wasn't related to either one of those Kedushas. So the Gemara answers, you're right. We weren't doubtful about what is the geographical area of this. Was it part of the Heichel or was it part of the Kadri Kachim? Rather, El Kedushase, our doubt was regarding the sanctity of the wall space. Ikalifnim, Ikalachutz. You're right, we knew what the wall was. It wasn't part of either one. But what sanctity does it have? Does it have the sanctity of within, of the Kadri Kachim? Or does it have the sanctity of what's on the other side of it, of the eastern part of it, which is the Heichel? And this is what Rabbi Yechanan said, that Yosef, the man from Hutzel, asked this question. The same question that there's a pasuk in Melachim Aleph that says, Udvir b'teich habayis, that you had this dvir, which this is the partition that's separating when one is coming into the Kadri Kachim, which was inside the house, in other words, it was in the Beis HaMikdash, mipnima heichin, from within was prepared, meaning from within that separation, from that pareiches, lasitin, from the amatrax, lasitin sham esarein b'ris Hashem, to put the ark that has the covenant of Hashem, which means the luchas that were placed inside the aron, was within the area of this dvir, of this wall that separated the heichal and the Kadri Kachim. Now on that, ibayluhu, that Yosef Ishutzel had the following question in how to translate the pasuk Melachim Aleph, and that is in relation to where does one put the word mipnima. Heichi kamakor, what is the pasuk saying? Do you read it as follows? Udvir b'teich habayis, you have this mechitza, this separation, this wall inside the Beis HaMikdash, which separates the areas of the Beis HaMikdash, one side the Heichal, one side the Kadosh Kachim. And then the second half of the pasuk is saying, Mipanima Heichin Lasisham. That means, and from within the area of this separation was the ear space of the Kadosh Kachim, which is prepared to put over there the Aron, which has the Luchas of Hashem inside over there. But the understanding of that, if you would read that Mipanima as being part of the second half of the pasuk, you would read, however, the Devir itself, that wall that separates, does not have the sanctity of what's within. Rather, the Devir is in the house, it's in the Beis HaMikdash, and Mipanima, from within that wall, not including the wall, is where it was prepared to have the sanctity of the Kachar Kachim to put the urn over there. Or maybe Yosef Yeshutzel said, you read with the word Mipanima from the first half of the pasuk, and that is Udvir b'techabayis Mipanima. This separation, this mechitza, was within the house from within. And what that means is that the area of the Devir itself was considered from the area within. And that actually itself was prepared to have the as the entering of coming into where the Aron is going to be put. And therefore, it would have the sanctity of the Kachar Kachim. And therefore, we see that this was exactly the same question that Yosef Yeshutzel had, that Troxin, we don't know actually what it was. Was it from the inside or outside? Again, as the Gemara answers the question of Ravina, yes, we knew that it wasn't part of either one's specific measurements. However, we didn't know what its Kedusha was. And that was the same doubt Yosef Yeshutzel actually had in the Pasuk. Where do you put the word Mipanima? What is it from the second half, and therefore the Devir did not have the Kedusha of the Kachar Kachim? Or is it from the first half, and it itself was part of the sanctity of the Kachar Kachim? Now the Gemara asks on that. Umi Mesafkele? So he said that actually Yosef Yeshutzel had the same doubt that Chazal had regarding the Troxin. He had that same doubt in how to translate the Pasuk. Where does the word Mipanima go? But now the Gemara asks, is that really true? But Matanya learned the Braisa, Isi ben Yehuda Imer. Isi ben Yehuda said, there's only Chamish Mekoros by Torah, there's only five Pesukim in the Torah that Ein Lehen Echreya, that doesn't have a definition to know which part of the Pasuk it goes to. As we said before, relating what the Gemara was trying to say that Yosef Yeshutzel had regarding the word Mipanima, how do you read it? Where do you put the comma? Is it from the first half or from the second half? So Isa ben Yehuda said that there's five psuk in the Torah that have the same phenomena that we don't know. Is that word from the first half or from the second half? As the Gemara illustrates on Amud Beis, that the first one is a pasuk in Bereishis that says the word Se'es. Now this is a pasuk in Bereishis Perek Dal where Hashem tells Kayin, Haloyim Seitiv Se'es, that if you're going to do good, then Se'es, which that would translate as a term of slicha, of forgiveness. That is, if you do good, then Se'es. Or is the word Se'es from the second half of the pasuk? That is, Se'es imloy Seitiv. That means to say, that's a word of nesia, of caring, that you'll be carrying your sin if loy Seitiv, if you don't do good. So Hashem was telling him, look, you have the choice. You can do good or not do good. But the question is, where does the word Se'es come in? Is it Haloim Seitiv Se'es? If you do good, then you'll be forgiven. Or is it from the second half of the pasuk, Se'esim Loi Seitiv, you're going to have to carry your sin if you don't do good. The second doubtful word is the word in pasuk in Sefer Shemais that says Mishukadim, that it's engraved like almonds. Now, there the pasuk is talking about in regards to the menorah, which had different things engraved in it. So either it's read Arba Gevim Mishukadim, that there's four goblets that were shaped like the almonds, or it's from the second half of the pasuk, Mishukadim Kafteriel Frachau, that its blossoms and its knobs were engraved like almonds. So it's also not clear, is it going in the first half of the pasuk or the second half? The third doubtful word is a pasuk in Shemais that says Machor, tomorrow. Now this is in the pasuk when they were fighting Amalek. So it says there in the pasuk, either it's V'tzehi Lochim Amalek Machor, go out and fight Amalek tomorrow, or it's Tzevehi Lochim Bamalek, that go out and fight them right away. And then Machor is from the second half of the pasuk, and Machor, tomorrow Unoichi Nitzav, tomorrow I'm going to stand there and I'm going to daven for you. But today you don't need my tefillah. So it's Machor that you should go fight tomorrow, or that no, go out and fight, stop, meaning now. And Machor, tomorrow I'm going to be standing there and davening, but today you don't need my tefillahs. The fourth doubt is a pasuk in Bereishis that says, Or cursed. And this is by the brachas that Yaakov was giving to the Shvatim as he was on his deathbed. So he said to Shimon and Levi, U'bitzaynim ikru shayr ar. So there's two ways to translate this, the word ar over there. So it's not clear, is ar from the first half of the pasuk, that with their will they uprooted the cursed ox, which that would be a reference to the ox of Shechem, which that comes from the cursed Canaan. Or is Or from the second half of the Pasuk, which is Or Apam Kiaz, that cursed is their anger because it's very strong, meaning Shimon and Levi, they tried to kill Yosef, who's called Shar. So is the word Or going on that on the Shar Or, that they tried to uproot the cursed Shechem? Or is it going that their Or Apam, that their anger is cursed because it's very strong? And finally, the fifth doubt is the Pasuk in Devarim that says become and getting up, which again, it's not clear if it's going in the first half of the Pasuk, which says Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu when he was on his deathbed, he says, Hincha sheichev imavesecha v'kam, behold that you're going to go and lay with your fathers and you're going to get up, which that was an allusion to Tchias HaMeisim, that he's going to ultimately come back up again. Or no, v'kam was going in the second half of the Pasuk, that v'kam o'am hazeh v'zanah, that this nation will stand up and they're going to be immoral after you pass away. So again, it's not clear, is V'kam going on Moshe Rabbeinu getting up, that he's going to have Tchias HaMeisim, or it's V'kam on the second half, that the Jewish people get up and do Averis. So that's the five doubts that was said, as Isi ben Yehuda said, these are the only five that it's not clear what half of the Pasuk it's from. Now, V'tanya, we'll learn the Braisa, that who Yosef Ish Hutzel, who was the one we were quoting before, who was saying this doubt of Mipnima, which half of the Pasuk it's from, he's the same one that's who Yosef HaBavli. He's the same one that was called Yosef HaBavli. Who Isi ben Yehuda, he's the same individual that's really Isi ben Yehuda. Who Isi ben Gur Arya, he's really Isi ben Gur Arya. Who Isi ben Gamliel, who Isi ben Halalel. Umashman, what was really his name? These were all the terms that were given to him for different reasons. But what was his real name? Was Isi ben Akav Yishmael. That was his real name. But either way, we see that Isi ben Yehuda, who said there were only these five, is the same person as Yosef Ish Hutzel. Now, how could Yosef Ish Hutzel have that doubt in the Pasuk, is Mipnima from the first half or the second half, when he's the same person of Isi ben Yehuda who said there's only five, and that's not one of the five? So how could you have been doubt over there? So that the Gemara answers, B'dei Raisa Leka. In Torah, in Chumash, yes, there's nothing more than these five that were mentioned, which are all part of Torah. But in Navi, Ika, but in Navi, there are other ones, and that Pasuk in Mipnima was not part of Chumash, and therefore, although he said there was only five, that was in Chumash, but he could have the doubt regarding the word Mipnima also. Now the Gemara asks on this, but the Raisa Leka, is it really true that, however, in the Torah, there's not more than five doubts? But for Ika, the boy Rav Chizda, there's this other one that Rav Chizda had asked. So Pasuk in Shemais that says, V'yishlach es nar b'nei Yisrael, that he sent the young lads of the Jewish people, V'yalu oilus, and they brought consuming sacrifices, which are totally sacrificed on the Mizbech. Now, does that mean, what are the oilus? Those were kvasim, those were lambs. Now, the difference for this, for the understanding of the Pasuk would be, because that would mean you would have to put in the snacht over here, which is the way the Torah is read, which means, say, there's a stop, that V'yalu oilus, that's one type. And then the Pasuk continues, V'yizbuchu zavachim shlamim la'shem is the word, should be over there, parim, that then they went and slaughtered Shlamim, which are sacrifices that part of it are eaten by the Kahanim and part of it sacrificed, which is Hashem, that was Parm, that was bulls, and that there was two types. There was oilus, which are lambs, and there was Shlamim, which were bullsand therefore they would be in the snacht, which would be separating them. Oidilma idvi idi Parma. Maybe that oilus is the same as the Shlamim, which the end of the Pasuk defines that what was it? It was bulls, and not that the oilus was something else which we want to define as lambs. And therefore, there wouldn't be in the snachta on the oilus. Rather, it would be a geirish, which would be continuing and including it all at the end to bring it to the parm at the end. That these two, the oilus and the shlamim, were parm. But either way, we see that there's another doubt over here in regards to the pasuk about which part of it is it related to. In other words, is there a snachta or not? What's the first half of the pasuk? What's the second half of the pasuk? And therefore, we see that there's not only five. That the Gemara answers, Rav Chizda Masafkele, you're right, Rav Chizda, he was in doubt regarding this word of Eilus, let's say, is it part of the first half of the Pasuk or part of the second one? Yisrael ben Yehuda Pshitle, however, that was not a doubt for Yisrael ben Yehuda, he definitely understood what it was, and therefore he said there's only five doubts in the Torah, but however, as we said in Navi, there could be other ones, which is the word Mepnima, which again is the same doubt that Chazal had, that they didn't know, Amatraxin, was it from the inside, or was it from the outside, and that's why the opinion of the Chacham was, that we have to make two curtains, and not one, because although you read in the Mishkan, there was only one curtain, but in the second Beis HaMikdash, where we didn't know, from the area of the Beis HaMikdash, what was the Kedusha of that area, we had to isolate it, so that we shouldn't treat it as either one or the other. Now the Gemara continues on the theme of that previous discussion and of the previous Mishnah, which was talking about this machlokes that we mentioned regarding how many curtains there were in the second Beis HaMikdash. Was there one or was there two? Now, the Rabban said that there were two curtains. On that, our Mishnah continues on that theme. And regarding the process of the Kohen Gadol coming in through those two curtains into the area of the Kachet Kachim. So the Mishnah tells HaChitzayna Hesa Perufa. The outer curtain was pulled back. In other words, towards the outside, it was pulled out to create an opening, and it was held by this golden clasp, which allows him to walk in from this southern part, and that's Min HaDarm. Now, the inner curtain, as we said, there were two curtains to create this Amma space, that was opened from the northern part, also pulled out by this golden clasp, which then allowed him to walk in from the northern part. Now, Mahalach Binayan, he would enter from the southern part, which was open, and then he would walk between these two curtains, Achim Megillat Safin, until he reached the northern part of the wall of the Heichel, which would then allow him to walk into the area of the Kachay Kachim. Now, Higilat Safin, when he reached the northern part, and he came into the airspace of the Kachet Kachim, so Haifich Panim L'Darm, then he would turn his face towards the south. And then, because he would be going till he gets to the area of the Bein HaBadim, which that was in the middle of the airspace of the Kachet Kachim, as the Gemara says in Baba Basa, of Tzalik Testament Aleph, that the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made was in the center of the Kachet Kachim, that there were 10 Amos on either side of the Aron towards the walls of the Kachet Kachim. So again, he was Haifich Panim L'Darm. He turned his face towards the south. Mahalach l'smoili ima pareches. So he went with his left side facing the curtain, which separated the which he just passed through on his way into the Kachet Kachim, because if someone's going from north to south, his left is facing the east, and the pareches was on the eastern side. So he would be walking with his left towards the pareches. Achimagil aron, until he reached to the aron, in other words, to the area of between the badim, which there were these two poles on either side of the aron, which these poles went the length from the western wall to all the way towards the eastern wall, towards where he was, basically by the area of the Pareches. So Higil Aron, when he finally got to the Aron, he would put the pan, the shovel full of coals between the two staves, the two poles, which was reached all the way to where he was by the curtain. Then he piled on the incense on top of the coals. And the house, the Kachet Kachim, filled up entirely with smoke. Then he would exit, after he did that process of putting the Keteres on top of the coals, creating this Avodah of the Keteres, he would walk out the way he entered. In other words, just like when he entered. So he came in by the northern part, and then he turned his face towards the south, and he walked southward till he got to the middle of the Kachet Kachim, which was all the way by the curtain where the Bein HaBadim reached. Now, his face was facing south, towards the south, when he was walking towards the south. So too, when he would leave, he wouldn't turn around and start walking out towards the north. Rather, he would walk backwards with his face towards the Aron, so he would basically be in reverse, but face doing the same thing he would doing walking in, he would be doing the same thing walking out. And then he would say a small tefillah in the outer area that is in the Heichel once he would leave the Kachet Kachim. However, it wouldn't be lengthy in his tefillah, in his prayer, not to frighten the Jewish people, what's going on, what happened to the Kohen Gadol, what's taking so long, and therefore he would make only a very short tefillah. Now the Gemara asks on our Mishnah, what is our Mishnah talking about? What error is this to understand the actual protocol that the Mishnah is talking about? If we're talking about the first base of Mikdash, the first temple, was there a curtain? But we, as we said before, there was an amatrax and there was a wall, not curtains during the first base of Mikdash. So, El B'Mikdash Sheni, what do you have to say? There were Tumah in the times of the second temple. But then the question is, Mi'av Aron, was the ark there that we're just saying that, oh, he comes to where the ark is and he puts it between the bottom, but there wasn't any Aron in the times of base of Mikdash. As the Gemara says, over time, we learned the Braisa. It says, Mishenignas Aron, from when the ark was hidden away, so nignaza imai, so it was hidden together with the aron was tzentzenes haman, which was the container that held the man, a sample to show the future generations, look at this miraculous food that the Jewish people survived on with their emuna, with their faith. Vitzloich Hashem the mishkan, the flask of the anointing oil, umakli shel aron, and the staff of aron, which was also miraculous, that had rishkadea ufrecha, that had the almonds that grew out of his stick and these blossoms. The argus shagru plishdim darin alakil Yisrael, and also that was concealed with the aron was this box that was sent by the plishdim, which was a gift to the God of the Jewish people. Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, that it says vs is the word klei hazov, and the golden vessel Ashar Shivoisim Loyoshim, that you return to the Jewish people as a guilt offering, to Simu Ba'argaz Mitzida, you should put in a box on the side of the Aron. V'shalachtam Oisei B'halach, and you'll send to them and just let it go. So you see that the box was attached to the Aron, and therefore, when the Aron was concealed, that Argaz was concealed with it. So these are the different items that were concealed with the Aron. Now, Umi Ganzai, who concealed it? Yeshio Ganzai. Yeshio HaMelech, he was the one that hid it away. Now, Ma Rosh HaGanzai, what did he see fit? Why did he conceal the Aron HaKadosh? Rosh HaKasav, because he saw what it said in the Pasuk in Devarim, Yelech Hashem Yischa Ves Malkecha Asher Tokem Alecha, that Hashem will send you and the king that you have put over yourself, which is a reference to him, and therefore he was concerned that maybe he's going to go into Golis, to Bavel, which was after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, for the 70 years between that and the second Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Amad B'Gunasai, therefore he got up and he concealed it. He didn't want to have the Aron HaKadosh go into Golis Bavel and never to come back again to the area of Yerushalayim. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Divrei Yamim Beis, that V'yemin LaLevi'im, so he Yeshayahu told to the Levi'im, HaMavinim L'chol Yisrael HaKadosh Hashem, that understood to the Jewish people that were wholly set aside to Hashem, Tnu es Aron HaKadosh, he told them, put the Aron HaKadosh bebayis asher banu Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael, in the house that Shlomo HaMelech, the son of David, the king of the Jewish people, had built. Now, the challenge with that is, that's where it was. What do you mean you should put it there? It was always there. Obviously, what he meant to say was, put it there, let it stay there, bury it, hide it over there. And he continued, he says, Ein lechem masa b'kasef, you're not going to have to anymore carry it by your shoulders. Ata ivdu es Hashem lekechem es Am Yisrael. Now go serve Hashem, your God, and the Jewish people. Because he was telling them to conceal it. You're not going to have to do this anymore. Now go do other things, because I'm going to hide the Aron HaKadosh, because I see this destruction coming, and the Jewish people and their king and are going to go down to Golis Bavel, and I don't want that to happen to the Aron HaKadosh. Now, V'amar B'loza says that, although the Pasuk says clearly that the Aron was hidden, how do you know that these other items were hidden with the Aron? So in that Asya Shama Shama, we learned the word Shama that says by the Aron HaKadosh, which says Asher Yivoyed Lecha Shama, that's a designated place that I'll meet you there. Now it says also by the Tzinsenes Haman, by the container of the Man, it says if a send Shama Maloya Omer, you should put over there a Maloya Omer, which is a certain measurement of the Man. So it says Shama Shama, there, and we compare that just like that was concealed, so too that was concealed with it. Now, the Asi, we also learned the tzleiches of the shaman, the flask of the anointing oil, from the tzintzenes of man, from the container of the man, dairis, because it says by the tzintzenes of the man, it says l'mashmeris l'dairis seichem, says the term of generations, and it also says by the tzleiches, it says shaman mishchas kodesh yezeh, it says there also a term of l'dairis, of dairis. Therefore, we learned just like that was hidden, so too was the flask of the shaman mishcha. Avayasya, and then we learn out the staff of Aaron from the tzintzenes, where it says mishmeris, that it should be a safeguarding, where it says mishmeris that we just quoted before. And then it says by the staff of Aaron, it says l'mishmeris lois levnei Mary. And therefore you see that there was a mishmeris for either one, which means to say that, so therefore what happened to that one, that was also, nignes was also concealed away. And therefore we see that Yeshua HaMelech, who is before the second Beis HaMikdash, actually by the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, that he hid away the Aron HaKadosh, the Tzintzenes Haman, the Tzleiches of Shemen HaMishcha, and the staff of Aaron, and the box of the Plishlim that was connected, that was attached to the Aron HaKadosh. But either way, the Gemara's question is, so what era is our Mishnah talking about? Can't be the first Beis HaMikdash because there was no Pareches, and we're saying that he went through these two curtains. Can't be the second Beis HaMikdash because there was no Aaron, and here we say that he puts it by the Aaron, between the two sticks, the two poles of the Aaron. So when is this? And we know it was already concealed before the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara answers, La'olam b'mikdashani. Truthfully, it's the era of the second Beis HaMikdash. Umayhi gil aron. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that, and when he reached the aron, the ark, which there was no ark, makam aron, it means the area of where the ark was. Now, but the Gemara asked, but fine. So you could say that, but vakatani, but still our Mishnah learned, nosin es hamach de lebein shnei habadim. It says he put it between the two poles. What two poles? There's no poles over here. So now the Gemara says, "Eimek kibein shnei abadim." Same type of answer. Say as if it was between the two poles. In other words, as if it was there, and he was—that's where the poles would normally be, and he put it over there. But you're right; there was no actual aron, and there was no poles. But it was talking about the area of where that generally was. That's where he would put down the pen. And however, it wasn't there because it was the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now our Mishnah said that. So when he reached that area, so he put down the pen of the hot coals. And then he piled on the incense on top of the coals. So our Gemara says it's none. So obviously our mission is learning Kamanda Amar, like the opinion that says, which we quote in the Braisa on Daf Mem Tes Mabez, that there's a machlekes. Obviously our mission is going like the one who says Saivra, that he would pile on all at one time, one big pile, like a tyrus, on top of the hot coals, that it should take a long time till it starts smoking up. Because there was another mandama that says Pisa, he would spread it around that it starts smoking right away. There's another mandama which our mission is obviously saying, like when it says Tzava, he would pile it on, that it would take a long time before, because it would be a lot in one area till it finally gets smoky and creates smoke all over the entire area. Now, related to this process of how he would pile it on, the Gemara brings a contradiction in Braises. Tanichad, we learned in one Braise, Tzavra Penima, he would pile it on the inner area, and that is when he would begin to pile on, he would pile on the edge of the shovel of the hot coals, facing the inner part, facing towards the Aron HaKodesh, Shechut Tzalai, which is further away from him. He's standing by the curtain. The Aron is on the western area, and the shovel is in between him and the Aron HaKodesh. So one Braisa says that he would start from the inner part of the shovel, facing the inner part of the Kodesh Kodeshim, which is further away from him. And he would first reach out and start shaking down and piling on until he got to where to closer to him, which is where the handle of the shovel was. However, Tanya Idach would learn another Braisa, that Seir Chutza, that he would actually pile it on the outer part of the shovel, meaning facing towards the Hechel area, Shepinim Eloi, which was closer to him, which was facing towards where his body was, and then he would start over there and go until he got to the second half of the shovel, which was towards the area of the Aron HaKodesh, more inward of westward of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So how do we understand the contradiction? So Abaye says Tanoi, actually it's a machlokes Tanoim about where it would start, where it would be from closer to him going towards the area of the Aron, or would he start from the Aron and coming closer towards him? Now, Abaye says, Mistabra Kamanda Amar Penima Shechutzalai. It makes more sense, like the opinion, like that brace that says that he would start from the inner part of the shovel, which was further away from him, and then move closer towards himself. Because the Nan, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, that Malam Benoisi, they would teach the Kohen Gadol every single day when he was doing the Keteris, they would say, Hizahar, they would say, be careful, and we continue at the top of Nun Gimel and Aleph, Shalei Taschal Mipanecha. Don't start from closer to you. And that is, anytime Keteris is being done, if you have to get all the coals and putting the Keteris on it, you don't want to start closer from you and then move outward, because Shemeti Chava, because then maybe you're going to get burnt. And that is because the Keteris, if you're piling on closer to you, that and then it starts burning up right away, and your arm is stretching out over the rest of the coals, getting the rest of the Keteris over that entire area, you might get burned from the smoke that's coming on because you're putting it down and it's creating that smoke and that fire. And therefore, it's not preferable to do that way because you're going to get burned. Rather, start from the outer area, which is further away from you, which is the inner part of the shovel, and then move outward so that the smoke is starting and you're not getting burnt as you're doing it. And therefore, Abaye says it makes more sense, like that mandama, that he would start from the further away from himself and moving closer towards his body.